Well, I'm actually going to introduce you to integrated time domain reflectometry. This is a relatively new technology that overcomes the recalcitrant problems. Is that better?
Yeah.
It overcomes the problems of the errors in soil moisture content measurement that are associated with soil electrical conductivity. And I will show you by theory and by test data how this technology overcomes these EC problems. First of all, most soil measurement devices rely on measuring permittivity as a means of deriving water content, because permittivity is totally dominated by soil water content. So if we can measure permittivity accurately, then we can derive water content accurately also. Now, permittivity manifests itself in two different, distinctly different physical phenomena in nature. One is called Gauss's law, and that relates charge to electric field. So, let's see if I get this working. Permittivity is a proportionality constant between these other two variables. If we have a system in the soil, a polarized system that has a voltage applied to it, then the accumulated charge that occurs on the conductors in that system will be proportional to the field or the voltage applied between the electrodes, and the proportionality constant is permittivity. There are many devices that have been developed that use this principle. There are RC oscillators, LC oscillators, ring oscillators, standing wave oscillators, the frequency domain reflectometers, as they're called, are some of these devices. Various impedance measurement devices. The thing that these have in common is that they all rely on voltage and current relationships that are imposed on electrodes embedded in the soil. And by monitoring voltage and current relationships, they can then rely on Gauss's law to arrive at permittivity. The current being the movement of charge, and voltage is associated with the electric field. There's a caution here, though, that this this electric field is the total vector integral of all of the electric field, and it has a geometrical component to it. It's not just voltage. This is assumed in these sensors to be a constant, which it is not. So what happens if you apply Gauss's law to a soil that does not have any external ions in the medium, any charges in the medium? Then this works very well in being able to determine permittivity. But once you introduce charges into the soil in the form of ions, these are also charges. They respond to Gauss's law, just like the charges in the conductors and the electrodes. They also have an impact on the field, and they distort and alter the field because they have fields around them. So sensors that are based on this principle of monitoring voltages and currents, electrode, can be classified as Gaussian sensors, and that comprises just about all of the sensors in the market today. And they are subject to significant errors because of the modification of the field, the geometry of this field, and also the fact that they do not take these external charges into account as required by Gauss's law. The other method of measuring permittivity is the propagation equation. This is a very astounding derivation that comes out of Ampere's law and Maxwell's law, and leads to a very simple and astounding revelation that the speed of propagation is determined only by two variables, one being the magnetic permeability of the medium, the other being the electrical permittivity of the medium. Now, it turns out that magnetic permeability is a constant in nearly all soils. So that says that propagation rate through the soil is a function only of permittivity. That means if we can measure the propagation time of getting a signal from one place to another in the soil, then we can also determine very accurately what the permittivity of the soil is. Now, this is the important thing. This is completely independent of voltages, currents, fields, charges, and geometry. It's only a temporal measurement. It's only a time measurement. The sensor architectures that use this property are called true time domain reflectometers and true time domain transmissometers. I use this term true because there are many sensors on the market that purport to be temporal type sensors, which are really Gaussian sensors in sheep's clothing. This is a typical true TDR setup. What we have is a fairly expensive console. Inside that console, there's a step function generator, a precision time base, and a waveform digitizer. And then we couple that to a waveguide through a coax cable. This is also a problem because the coax cable acts as a low-pass filter, and much of the spectral content of the signal from the waveguide is removed by the coax cable. And then, of course, the waveguide that's buried in the soil. That all has to be coupled with some kind of a computer that has waveform analysis software built into it and also that controls the console. So we can improve this picture. Let's just take out the three basic elements, the step function generator, the precision time base, and the digitizer. These are very small devices, elements, so we don't need the rest of this stuff. And because these elements are so small, we can combine them with the waveguide into an integrated package, and we don't need this bandwidth limiting cable anymore either. And if we combine that with a processor that has floating point capability, we can get rid of the computer. So what we arrive at then is an integrated time domain reflectometer that has a precision time base of step function generator, digitizer, and so forth, coupled directly with the waveguide in a common package. Now, this also has advantages over the conventional time domain reflectometer in that it is easy to use. It has the waveform analysis built right into it, and all the floating point math is done right inside the sensor. It has ultra-high bandwidth waveform data because there is no filter between the TDR step function generator digitizer and the waveguide. They are directly coupled. It's temperature compensated, which is hard to do with a conventional TDR. It gives you direct, accurate EC readings by just using conventional EC measuring practices using the electrodes. It's waterproof, it's rugged, it can be buried in the soil for many years permanently. The major thing is that it is at least a 90% cost reduction over conventional TDR. These are some of the performance characteristics of it. The rise time of the step function generator is 100 picoseconds, which is very wide spectral content. The digitizer resolution is 5 picoseconds. That's the effective sampling bandwidth of 200 gigasamples per second. The waveform spectral content goes clear out to 10 gigahertz. And the digitizer input bandwidth is 8 gigahertz. So for researchers who want to see all of the spectral detail, of the properties of the soil. This is about the only instrument that can do that. It operates at about 10 microamps of current consumption, anywhere from 5 to 15 volts. And when it's reading, it draws 250 milliamps for 800 milliseconds, which is about 1.5 joules per reading. Typical AA alkaline cell, a single cell, is about 10,000 joules, so this is about 6,000 readings from just a single cell. If you had four alkaline cells, it would be about 25,000 readings before you have to replace batteries. Here are some responses now to show some actual test data of how this overcomes the effects of EC. These are responses in water. Over here on the left side, you can see the incident wave with its 100 picosecond rise time. At this point, it hits the juncture where the internal step function generator is coupled to the waveguide rods, and that's all embedded inside of the device. So at this point is where the wave first hits the water. And you can see here for distilled water that the incident wave is very flat. There's no attenuation there because of the purity of the water. Then over here we see the reflected wave beginning to rise. And the reported water content by this particular sensor was 0.994. You can also see the effects of adding salt to the water. This is 1 decisiemen per meter, 2 decisiemens per meter, 3, 4, and 5, down to this level. And you can see as the salt content increases in the water, it has the effect of attenuating the waveform, but it does not change the water content reading at all. It's still within 1% of full scale on all of these things. When you get out to 5 decisiemens per meter, then you begin to see a little more air creeping in because the attenuation of the waveform is beginning to be to where it's almost disappearing. There's some responses in saline soils. This is just the dry soil that was used in this test. You notice also the sharpness of this break between the reflected wave and the incident wave. That's an indication of the bandwidth that's available from this device. The full spectral content of that reflection comes through without the usual slope that occurs with most TDR sets. These are the same soil wetted with different saline solutions at 0.35 decisiemens per meter. This is tap water, 5 decisiemens, 10 decisiemens, and 16 decisiemens per meter. And you can see what the gravimetric reading is versus what the sensor reported in each of these cases. Again, they're all within 1% of full scale, except for this last one. It shows a little bit greater error than that. Again, because of the loss of the signal. You can see that in all of these areas, there is an inflection point that occurs right down through this this area. It is picked up by digital signal processing on this digitized waveform. All right. So it's important in this process that the waveform be digitized so that it can be subjected to the signal processing to derive these temporal features in the waveform. If you didn't do this, you'd wind up with a Gaussian sensor again if you try to relate that, try to derive the time by making voltage and current measurements. That's the main difference between this technology and the Gaussian technology, is that there are no voltage and current measurements made in this. It's all temporal, it's all time measurements. And so you can always remember that Gaussian sensors use voltages and currents. Temporal sensors use time. This is pictures of what the sensor looks like in the hands of a typical user. No, that was amplitude, waveform amplitude. But it is, it's indicative of the impedance of the soil, reflection coefficient.
Okay.